Howdy. Welcome to the podcast. If you're listening for the first time, can you please stop and go back and listen to another episode, because this is going to be a real deterrent. This is just going to be one of my in-between episodes. I've got quite a few guests that I've recorded and I've done my intros and outros for, and are sitting in edit land getting all done up. And so depending on when and in what order they come back will determine when they're put up for everyone to listen to. But as I've mentioned previously, I'm looking to do a few little extra episodes here and there just to fill in a bit of extra content. And given that I'm hoping this episode will go out the week of Christmas, actually, if it doesn't, well, it won't go out. It's going to come out in Christmas. So there you go. I figured I'd do a quick episode, nothing that's too long, just about my thoughts on Christmas. And I was really reluctant to do an episode on this because the more I thought about it and the different things I could talk about, the more that it just sort of spiraled into this hole of negativity. And I just kept just hating myself because all the things that I complain about are very much first world problems. They're very selfish and self-indulgent, and there's certainly a lot more people out there that have far worse lives and circumstances, and this time of the year is certainly far more of a struggle than it could ever be for me. But you know, whatever. I'll rant on anyway and show my selfishness and the things that irk me about Christmas. Don't get me wrong, I'm extremely grateful for everything that I do have. I've got wonderful family and friends, and I really have no complaints whatsoever. But this is my podcast, so I'm going to have a mindless rant. And I'm sure there'll be a few people out there that might be able to connect and understand a few of these things. If you don't and you think I'm just whinging, yeah, I am. So whatever. It is what it is. And you can always tune out and go and listen to an episode where I'm actually talking to somebody else. But yeah, I just sort of make a big mention about Christmas and how much it stresses the fuck out of me every year. I never think about it. And before I know it, I'm usually sitting a week or two out of Christmas Day, and suddenly it hits that I haven't done anything. And by anything, it means buy people presents, because that's all Christmas appears to be in my life at present. And I'm sure as I continue to grow up and get older, that my view on this time of the year will certainly change. But at this point in time, my whole focus and my world revolves around presents and buying people presents, and the stress and the headache and the frustration that that circles around this whole thing. And don't get me wrong, I think when you do think of something and you can find it and you can grab it and give it to somebody, it's a great feeling. But for me, and maybe this is a bit of my selfish side sticking out, I simply just don't think about other people, in the sense that I'm always on the lookout to see what people might want to have. I keep, when I think about my friends and family and the things that interest them, I more or less steer clear of those particular passions and interests that they have, because 9 times out of 10, they already have everything that they need. They've already gone out and bought the things that they like. And by me going out there with not as much knowledge as them, I'm going to miss the mark altogether. So that instantly I'm steering away from things that I know my friends and family have interest in, and I'm trying to find something else. So already I'm tripping myself up and probably causing a lot more drama than necessary in my life. But the worst is just going out there and trying to navigate through the masses of people that are in the same boat as me, trying to work out what to buy for others. And, you know, I'm about to do it this week and do a couple of nights of venturing out and dealing with the masses of morons at the shopping center, which I guess I'll be one of them as well, and trying to walk into a store with a sense of clarity where I'm actually thinking about the people that I'm buying for, instead of worrying about how much I hate the store, how much I hate the music that's playing, or how much I hate the people that are standing right next to me and carrying on or talking, or just getting annoyed at how many people are in the shopping center, because I hate shopping centers in general anyway. So mix that in with Christmas and me having a mission where I have to go and buy people presents that I've got no idea what to buy. It's just a recipe for disaster. So I really struggle to walk through a shopping centre and walk into stores and really be mindful and have clarity to really sort of think, okay, what now I've got to buy for this person, what can I get? I stare at walls, I stare at racks, I stare at shelves, and I'm not even taking anything in. And a lot of the times I walk into a shopping centre and walk out with nothing and just even more pissed off than I was when I walked in there. I mean, as I said before, don't get me wrong, when it all falls into place and you find something great and you know that person's going to get a kick out of something, then it's great. And it's great to be able to gift and give somebody something and see the look on their face when they genuinely really like something that you've given them. But the chances of me getting to that final moment are pretty slim, and I struggle big time to get that far. Usually for me, I always take an easy way out, going down two different avenues. One is that I just go for the voucher. And the voucher more or less saves my ass every year. Majority of the years, I will go to Westfield, or which is a big shopping centre here in Australia for people listening overseas, or to a particular larger chain store where there's a bit more variety and options, and I'll just go and buy vouchers for people. Yeah, okay, it can be quite boring because you're not going to get a present or anything like that. You're just going to open up a card and it's not something tangible as such. But I figured it's the safest way, and at least you're still doing something. Although I still get a bit self-conscious about putting a dollar amount against a voucher, because then maybe it's just me, but I sort of feel like I'm being measured by the amount of money that I invested. Whereas if I actually buy a present, the value is not as obvious as a voucher clearly is. But that's the pros and cons to going down that path. The other path I tend to go down, which it can be a hit or miss, is going down the joke path where I just buy joke gifts for everybody. And it's usually something very stupid, very immature, sometimes smutty. And sometimes they go down really well, and other times it just fails miserably. A particular story from probably about 10 or so years ago, might have been longer. A couple of friends from school, we decided that we'd buy each other presents for Christmas. So there was one girl and myself and another guy that I knew. And whatever, that all happened. We went off and bought our presents for each other. And then we met up at one of their houses and exchanged presents. And so whatever, it was all good. And I can't remember what presents I got. I know the girl gave me a necklace, and it was like some surfy thing that it was just, it was a nice gesture, but it was god awful, and I never wear jewelry anyway. But certainly not a surfy one. It was like that black leather string with some sort of, I don't know, something that looked like some sort of symbol on it. And I can't remember what else I got from my other mate, but me being me, I went to a novelty store and I bought her a toilet mat that had a mirror on it. I thought that was quite genius. She got quite upset because she'd put so much meaning and thought into her gift, and I got her a smutty toilet mat with a mirror on it, which it had some sort of smutty saying on it, and I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was the funniest thing ever, and I thought it would just go down a treat, but it backfired miserably, which I still laughed because the reaction was just so ridiculous as well that it just added to the comedic value of the entire thing. And for my mate, I brought in this gigantic cardboard box. It was huge. And I got the box from like a white goods store, just an empty box. And I threw a few bricks down the bottom of the box, and then I filled it full of scrunched up newspaper and put the item in there. And I may have put into a couple of boxes inside each other, sort of like a, what do you call those dolls, those Russian dolls that, anyway, you'll know what I mean. And wrapped it up with wrapping paper, this massive thing. And so I brought it over to the house, and he looked at it, and he was just blown away. I think he instantly felt guilty because it looked like I'd just gone to town. I'd spent a lot of money. And he just kept saying, oh, thank you so much. I can't believe this. This is amazing. He hasn't even opened the bloody thing yet. He's just looking at the size of this thing. He's like, oh, next year I'm going to get you the best thing. Just you wait. I'm going to top this for sure. And I'm just standing there with this smirk on my face because I think I'm the funniest guy. I think I'm so smart and then I've totally got in. And it was true. I had tricked him, but I just thought I was the funniest guy. So anyway, he opens it up and he's like, oh, what's in here? And he starts digging away and he's pulling out the newspaper and he's getting further down. Then he finds another box and he's like, oh, okay. No, it's not as big as I thought. And so we're having a laugh. And then he gets down to like a couple of boxes down. And then finally he digs his hand down and he pulls out a calendar, just a single calendar. And what was it? It was a fatogram calendar. So if anyone doesn't know what a fatogram calendar is, it's basically just a calendar full of fat, naked women. And funnily enough, it didn't really go down terribly well either. So I think for both of them, they were really looking to make Christmas very special and just show some symbols of how important the friendship was between us and whatever. And I just went in an opposite direction, just thought it'd be hilarious just to give crappy novelty gifts. And certainly no regrets because I still think it's quite funny, you know, what the presents were and the reactions. But it is, to go back to what I was saying before, it's definitely an easy avenue for me. I'd much rather go down path and find something ridiculous and stupid than try and find something meaningful. I think a lot of people tend to think about the meaningful presence or something that links in with that person's either personality or their interests or their passion or whatever it might be. And it just gets dicey because you, as I said before, you don't know what that person's going to like, what they already have. And if they are that interested in a particular subject or a hobby or whatever it might be, you have to be very, very careful. You have to do a lot of research and really poke around to make sure that either they don't have what you're going to get them or what you're getting them is exactly what they're after. For example, I went through a period where, you know, I would always be carrying on about basketball. And so people would buy me basketball related stuff, but it would just be stuff that I would never use and was just rubbish. And it's a thought that counts, of course, but I just sort of went, oh, I can't do anything with it. It's probably going to end up in the bin. And yeah, it is all about the gift of giving, but I get paranoid that I'm going to be that person that gives something to somebody else and they're going to get that reaction. So maybe I'm overthinking this whole Christmas thing way too much, but these are some of the many thoughts that go through my head. And the other thing that people tend to focus on is practicality, and they're trying to think of practical gifts and things that that people can use. And same thing for me. I sort of think if it's a practical gift, then chances are that practicality they probably have already got, or they've already purchased it sometime during the year. You know, so to me, Christmas is more about just getting something ridiculous, not something of high value or something that, you know, totally links in with their interest or anything of the such. It should be something that's just completely out there. It's completely unexpected. It's a bit of a laugh and it's something that just sparks a bit of interest and a bit of conversation. And I think that's what gift giving should be at Christmas. Birthday is a different story. I think it's a bit more personalized because you're really targeting one person, and birthdays stress me out big time as well. But I'll leave that for another topic in the new year. But I just think Christmas, because you're buying for multiple people and there's a lot of gift giving in groups, I think it's just so much better to buy things that are weird and wonderful and interesting. And they might be completely off the mark and a bit crazy and out there, but I think it's just more the excitement of opening something and just passing things to each other more so than buying something meaningful or practical. But unfortunately, you know, I can continue to do that, but I'm very mindful of how other people react as well. And while I think it's very funny and I think that's the way that Christmas should be, a lot of other people are in a different position and a different perspective of what they think Christmas should be. And the last thing you want to do is disappoint people, although you shouldn't have to really worry about what other people think. I mean, I guess Christmas is all about thinking of other people, so I really need to, it's a challenge that I've got. The other thing that really perplexes me about Christmas is that people ask you, they go, what do you want for Christmas? Or people tell you what they want for Christmas. Say, oh, well, if you're going to get anything for Christmas, I want this and I want that and I want that. What's the fucking point? If you know what you want, then just go and buy it yourself. You know, what's the point of getting something wrapped up and put under a tree or on a table or whatever, however you exchange gifts and you know what's in it? What's the point? It's just ridiculous. It's redundant. And maybe this is just all different perspectives and different views of what people's idea of Christmas is. But to me, if you're going to wrap something up, then the whole wrapping up of a present means that you don't know what's inside. So what's the point of asking someone what they want and then giving them exactly what they want, or, you know, vice versa, or, you know, telling someone what you're after? I've seen a lot of that where, or even where people buy someone's present in advance, they'll be like, oh, well, I'll buy you that and that'll be your Christmas present. It's just fucking ridiculous. Like, same thing again. I'll buy that for Christmas and that'll be your Christmas present, and I'll wrap it up and put under the tree. Just the most redundant thing I've ever heard. It just doesn't even make sense. So anyway, everyone's different. I know. And I have to keep telling myself and I have to calm down. So I'm in that position at the moment and I'm really struggling. Tomorrow night I'm meeting up with Damien, who does all my podcast editing. I'm going to meet up and have a drink, and Jess is at another Christmas party. So I'm going to go and just potter around the city and hopefully just stay chilled and just keep an open mind and hopefully find a few little things along the way. And then the following night I'm going to go to the local shopping center and pull my hair out while I wade through the masses of people that are doing last minute shopping like me. There are a lot of people out there that are quite smart and do their Christmas shopping after Christmas for the following year, or buy things throughout the year, because they're a lot more mindful and they think of other people a lot more. Unfortunately, my mind doesn't work like that. And I'd love to be able to think of others a lot more. And maybe that's something I need to continue to work on. But I just don't walk into shops and look at things and go, oh, that'd be a great present for such and such. Oh, I should get that for them for Christmas or for their birthday. I don't function like that. I wait until it's like the day or the week before I have to get something for somebody, and then I start to panic and I've got no idea what to do. And then I usually buy something really crap. But yeah, it would be nice to have a bit of forward thinking and be a bit more thoughtful of other people along the way. So I acknowledge my selfishness and something I need to work on. What else was I going to say? The other thing I'm going to complain about, and I'm doing a lot of complaining, so once again, my apologies, the whole act of gifting and giving and receiving. I've always said this, and it does just my fiance's head in. It does everybody's head in that I speak to. Whenever someone asks me what I want for Christmas or for my birthday, I tell them nothing. And you know how when people say, whether it be for a birthday or a party or something like that, and they say, don't bring anything. I've got everything here. Don't bring anything. And I'm pretty sure there's a TV ad here in Australia that was about that, but it was like they sort of joked and said, they still mean that you should bring something. Even though they say don't, you should still bring something. When I say don't get me anything, I fucking mean it. Do not get me anything. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to feel left out. I will be so happy if no one got me a single present. And the reason for that is then there's no guilt. I don't have to worry about buying for somebody else because they bought something for me. And yeah, I know that's not how it works. It shouldn't be the way it works. If someone wants to give something, it's not with the intention that they expect something back. But look, most people function like that. That's a reality. If someone gives me something, I know deep down that they're going to think and remember that in the back of their mind. And while they might not expect anything back straight away, there'll be something that happens later on down the track and they will remember that they did something for me and I haven't done something back. And, you know, a lot of the time it's not where I deliberately go, oh, I'm not doing anything for that person. It's just I don't think of buying things for other people. If we're out somewhere and we're eating or we're at a bar or whatever, I buy people drinks. I might throw my card over the table and buy dinner for everyone or whatever, you know, here and there. And I'll do things along the way in the heat of the moment, in the spare of the moment. But I don't walk around and just start buying people stuff and get people gifts and whatever. I hate doing it. So for me, it takes the pressure off. It removes the sense of guilt. I can spend time with people and have great company and eat and drink and have a merry old time without the pressure and the stress around exchanging gifts. But unfortunately, people don't like to listen to me. So when I say I don't want anything, that generally means that I am being ignored and that I still get stuff. The worst thing is when someone turns around and says, okay, that's not a problem. And I say, well, that means I'm not going to get anything for you. And they say, that's fine. But then what happens is I take that literally and I don't get them anything. And then they end up buying me something anyway. So then who's the asshole? It's me. So I make this so complex for myself. I really should just man up and just go and buy presents for people and just be done with it. But I, every year it's the same thing, whether it's birthdays or especially Christmas, I go through these same complex social scenarios where I just do my head in. I think way too rationally and logically, and I hate tradition. I hate things that don't make sense. I hate mindless actions for no reason. And they're things that I'm trying to work on. I'm trying to calm the fuck down. Maybe taking a slightly different shift. It hasn't always been negative. When I was a kid, Christmas was fantastic. And it was something that I extremely enjoyed. I looked forward to with great anticipation, you know, for various reasons and probably selfish reasons in the fact that I got toys and whatever when I was a kid, and there's less obligation because I was a kid to buy other people's stuff. I sound like such an asshole. The way that Christmas usually worked each year when I was a kid was for quite a number of years, I moved around the state of Queensland with my family due to my father getting different jobs within the hospital system. And as a result, we got transferred every few years to a different town. And so that meant a lot of different schools, a lot of different people I had to make friends with along the way. Definitely a lot of cool things that I learnt, you know, adapting to situations and learning to get along with people and really thinking on my feet, so to speak. But every year, because we're away from Brisbane, where I had grown up as a child, and all of my extended family were in Brisbane. Both of my parents, so my grandparents on either side, were all in Brisbane. In fact, a couple of streets either side of our old house in Redcliffe, which is just north of Brisbane. So family and the real home was always back in Brisbane, despite wherever we were living at the time. So whenever there was school holidays, we would get in the car and drive back to Brisbane, whether that be a 10-hour or a 6-hour or 7-hour drive. And it was just it was a huge journey. It was a journey that started towards the end of the school year, being in primary school. The last couple of weeks was very much a wind down, clean up, pack up, get all of your old posters off the wall, stuff that you painted, all your art pieces, your projects, you get them all returned to you, all your test results, all your report cards. It was very much this this completion of the year, and it was such a great feeling, and everyone relaxed, the teacher relaxed. We had a lot more sort of fun interactive activities just to ride out the remainder of that week or so at school. And then that anticipation of that we're about to jump in the car and go back and see all of our family. So including that drive, which sort of led to the excitement, you know, that we're getting closer and closer and closer. And so then we would get back to Brisbane and we would see our grandparents, we'd see our aunts and uncles and cousins. And it was a great time, you know, whether we were there for a week or two, whatever it may have been. You know, we'd do a lot of shopping and a lot of barbecues and lots of food and just family gathering, and it was great. It was fantastic. And the way that Christmas usually worked was, I believe we used to go to a Christmas Eve mass. It was like a children's mass, and not that I've ever cared about religion whatsoever, and I still certainly do not, but it was just part of the tradition at the time when I was a kid. And, it was the whole, while I hate tradition, the meaning behind getting together with the family and doing something together had it had significance to me, not on a very deep level and such that I really understood the true essence of it, but it just had a good feeling. And, you know, I couldn't think into it any more than what it was. So anyway, we had Christmas Eve, and then obviously you go to bed and we're always excited about what was going to happen overnight and what the lounge room or wherever the Christmas tree was set up and what would be sitting under there in the morning. And I can't remember when I stopped believing in Santa. I really don't know. It may have been sort of 5 or 6 years old. I really cannot remember whatsoever. I do remember my brother, who's 4 years younger, still believing, and me not, and laughing at him. But I have no idea. So the way that it worked on Christmas Day, we would wake up and depending on where we were, when we were living away from Brisbane, we would usually stay at my grandmother's place on my father's side, and we would be there for breakfast. We'd open up some presents, at least from, you know, immediate family, my parents, and maybe my grandmother might have a present there for us, while because we're staying with her. And then by mid-morning, or the extended family on my father's side would come to my grandmother's place and we would have Christmas lunch. And Christmas lunch in Australia, because we're in the middle of summer, usually consisted of cold chicken, hams, lots of cold meat, and a bit of seafood, so prawns and some other stuff as well. I can't remember. I've never been a fan of seafood, so it didn't really register too much when I was a kid. And it was cool because I got to catch up with a lot of my cousins who were similar age, roughly. So that was good. And I usually only saw them once, maybe twice a year max. So it was always exciting to see them when they rocked up. So we would run around and have a good time. And this was pre-Secret Santa, before Secret Santa started to get quite popular. So when we were kids, we got presents from everybody, you know, from all the uncles and aunts and everyone. And so we used to have these Santa sacks and it would just be all, you know, cheap rubbish toys or whatever it might have been. But it was just exciting to open things up and see what they were and then throw them or, you know, throw it around the backyard or whatever it might have may have been. And that usually went until about mid-afternoon, and then slowly everyone would head off, and then we would go over to my mother's parents' place, so my grandparents on my mother's side, and we would have Christmas dinner there. And I think it was a very similar, I really can't remember exactly what we would have, but I have a funny feeling that it was very similar to whatever we had for our lunch. So it was just very much sort of cold based food, so cold meats and definitely prawns on my mother's side, and so bits of seafood, but it, very much cold and fresh stuff, just because it was just so hot, and we would do presents there as well. So it was always an exciting time, and just due to the amount of people that would come in and out of both places that we went to, and so many family and that were involved, it was just always great spirits, great times, and it was fantastic. And and then as we started to get older, everyone started to move off into different directions. All the cousins, as they started to, you know, whether they moved overseas or interstate, or started seeing people and having to go over to the other partner's place and alternate between Christmases and whatnot, things started to change a little bit. And then almost 10 years ago, my grandmother passed away. And it was quite interesting because I didn't really think about it at the time, but she really held that side of the family together, at least from my perspective. And I'm sure, you know, my father or other people in my extended family might have a different opinion. But my grandmother really kept the family together, and it gave people an excuse to travel because not everyone lived very close to each other. We were relatively close in the grand scheme of things. No one was really interstate. But some people had to drive a few hours to get there, and I think everyone attempted to try and keep it going the subsequent years after my grandmother passed away. But to be brutally honest, it just felt like too hard basket for a lot of people, and it stopped happening. And at least on my father's side, now it's more of a case that my parents may catch up with some of the siblings and for like a Boxing Day get together, but you know, it's always a case that somebody's traveling or somebody's away or someone's got something else to do. And it's everyone gets along great, but everyone's just very independent and just gets along with life, which is certainly where I've got a lot of my traits from, which are good and bad. A lot of things that I'm ashamed of myself. This is really getting deep. But a lot of the stuff that I'm ashamed about, where I sometimes am not as mindful of others and not always as thoughtful as I'd like to be. Sometimes I get that from that side, and it's not a malicious thing. It's just that we're just focused on what we're doing and getting on with life, and we just sometimes just don't stop and look around and see what else other people are doing. But so that definitely changed. And the same year, my grandmother on my mother's side passed away, and this is in the space of a few months in the same year, and definitely changed the dynamic again. But to my mother's side, to my mother's credit, and my extended family on my mother's side, they've definitely kept things together and kept, you know, it's definitely on a smaller scale to what it used to be, but, you know, they're very much they keep in contact with each other a lot more and spend a lot more time together, and they live a lot closer down the road, my grandfather and my aunts. So that's from a Christmas thing each year, that's still my mother's side still gets together. And every so often, depending on who's around and the time, then my father's side may get together as well. So I think when that changed, that definitely changed my perspective of Christmas. I don't think I learnt the right lessons at the time. I think I was just more disappointed that it was not what it used to be. But, you know, you can't keep holding on to the past anyway. And I think just the whole thing of the last 10 plus years of me living in Sydney and getting on with life and being so stuck in what I'm doing and not really thinking about what other people are up to, it definitely gets to this time of year where it causes a lot of stress. But yeah, I've definitely got a lot of fond memories of Christmas and a lot of stuff that I won't forget. But I would like to hopefully change that perspective again and really get the, well, it's not the true meaning of Christmas, because really, I mean, if we really want to talk literal, the true meaning of Christmas is only celebrated if you're Christian. So really, we're all hypocrites anyway. You know, it's a religious holiday. We all take time off for a religious holiday, even though most of us don't even believe. You know, we all take advantage of it and we all say Merry Christmas to each other, even though we lose what the true meaning of it is. And I'm certainly a sucker for that. In fact, what I do is I deliberately not write Christmas in its usual spelling. In its normal spelling, I use it with the X, X-M-A-S, purely out of spite. So, but you know, it's definitely a commercial thing. But I think now, as time progresses and we as a human race start to wake up a little bit more and look at the bigger picture and be a bit more realistic about life, and I'm sure I'm offending a lot of people as I'm saying this right now, so apologies. But you know, when people move away a lot more from the religion side of things and define Christmas in a new light, and what Christmas should be is a time for spending time with the people that matter. And yeah, I know there's always a saying that Christmas is a time of giving. Yeah, it can be, absolutely. I think maybe it should be the gift of company and just making sure that you're there for other people and spending time with the people that matter. And maybe it's a case that you just send people a thoughtful card or something just to acknowledge that that you're thinking of them, although you should be doing that all throughout the year. But hey, I'm certainly no poster child for that, so I'll put my hand up. Anyway, I've been ranting on for way too much. I don't even know how long I've been going on for, but if you're still listening, I'm extremely impressed, because once again, I'm rambling on. Housekeeping at the end, as always, iTunes, rate, review, help me bump this thing up. This episode is certainly not helping my case, but I'm sure that there's still a lot of people enjoying it. And I can definitely see that from all the interaction that I'm getting and downloads and whatnot of the episodes. So I do appreciate it. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, jump on those. You'll be able to find, just search for either my name or any social podcast. You'll find all that stuff. As always, the Lord Online Store, 10% off everything, any items, whatever you want. Just use the code word AndySocial at checkout. So that's lord.net. Can never say this properly. lord.net.au/store. Lord Dungeon merchandise and other stuff in there as well. And we'll continue to add things in the new year as well. So keep an eye out and always keep that code handy, especially when we've got a new release that comes out or a new item of merchandise that you want to jump in on and snap up. The 10% can definitely help in the grand scheme of things, especially for those of you that are regular purchasers from the store. And I know there's quite a few of you that are always on there buying things. So I think the 10% can go a long way over time. So definitely keep that within arm's reach. I think there's anything else I can think of. Thank you for listening, and welcome to all the new people that are tuning in for the first time. My apologies if this is your first episode. Please give me another chance and listen to an episode with a guest on it, and continue to spread the word and support. And I'll do my best to return the favor with lots of cool things to give and show and provide. All right, awesome. Take care and speak soon. Thanks, guys. Bye.